Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Lying in state after lying to us for years. That's how I see Charlie Kirk. I never paid much attention to the man because he offered nothing new. He was a talented debater. He had the courage he needed to stand up in public and speak against the crazed and drooling mobs of the insane college left. He may have sincerely believed in the pro-Jewish and conservative Christian ideas he was promoting. He may have been seeing Jewish power slightly more objectively in the last few months of his life, after being forced to think about the issue by Jew-critical hecklers who followed him around for years and who ridiculed his ultra-Zionism at his own events. He even recently allowed Tucker Carlson, a mild critic of the Jewish state, to speak at one of his organization's meetings. He did acknowledge for the first time very recently that big Jewish donors were behind the leftist movements he disliked. But his message was for those donors themselves to wake up. Absolutely not for Americans to distrust or oppose Jews or Israel. When he was killed, I did reflect for a bit on how dangerous it can be, in increasingly unhinged America, for activists like myself to express unapproved thoughts using their own names, as I have done for almost all my adult life. But in the end, Kirk was a shill for Israel, praised to the skies by people like Benjamin Netanyahu, with whom he was scheduled to meet when death intervened and made that impossible. In the end, his legacy was as an advocate for just more of the same, always defensive, never offensive, conservative pablum that got us into our current situation in the first place. Let's just have common sense. All that is needed is to be reasonable about transgenders and homosexuals, some of whom love Jesus and are conservatives just like us. Let's convert black people to conservatism. Most of them already worship Jesus. Let's stand against racism even stronger than those leftists. Let's support Israel and Jews and reject the evil anti-Semitism of the left. Jews are our big brothers in faith, and we worship Jehovah just like they do. We Christians wouldn't even exist if not for Jews and Judaism after all. Kirk's ties to Israel were plentiful. From early on, Kirk connected his support of Israel to his Christian beliefs. He often framed Israel as, quote, central to biblical prophecy, close quote, and cited, quote unquote, scriptural promises that Jews should possess wide swaths of territory in the Middle East because Jehovah said so. Visiting Israel, walking through quote-unquote biblical sites, etc., made his faith in Jesus feel, quote, more real, unquote, according to the Cleveland Jewish News. A day before he was shot, Kirk said, with reference to why we need to support Israel, that, quote, Islam is the sword the left is using to slit the throat of America, close quote. Just after the shooting, and incidentally proving that Jews are not supermen and make stupid grammatical errors, former Israeli Defense Minister Benny Gantz described Kirk as a, quote, voracious defender of Judeo-Christian values, America, and the State of Israel, close quote. At about the same time, Israel's National Security Minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, gave a fulsome tribute to Kirk, sharing a photo of Kirk mocking Palestinians by holding an Israeli flag in front of a West Bank mosque, and saying that leftist and Muslim critics of Israel constitute the greatest danger to humanity today. Israeli Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich said Kirk was, quote, a true friend of Israel, close quote. Benjamin Netanyahu called Kirk, quote, a lion-hearted friend of Israel. He fought the lies and stood tall for Judeo-Christian civilization. I spoke to him only 2 weeks ago and invited him to Israel. Sadly, that visit will not take place, close quote. Kirk made multiple trips to Israel. The first was in May 2018, when he attended the U.S. Embassy opening in Jerusalem and affirmed his strong support of the Jewish state. In 2019, he returned to Israel on what he called a fact-finding mission, stating he was, quote, very pro-Israel. My whole life I have defended Israel, close quote. On those trips to Israel, Kirk said that, quote, seeing things in person, close quote, reinforced his conviction that Israel needed to be defended. In his final months, he increasingly emphasized that Israel needed to do more in the, quote, battle for the narrative, close quote, especially among younger people and online. He was concerned about Israel's image, the ways its actions were perceived, and wanted better, quote-unquote, storytelling to shore up support for the Jews and their state. He was invited to speak at an Israeli Ministry of Diaspora Affairs anti-Semitism conference to be held in Israel in January 2026. And he had accepted the invitation. He also wrote a letter to Netanyahu, which was reported after his death, about the importance of better messaging, especially for youth, and expressing concern about Israel losing the battle for public opinion. I think slaughtering hundreds of thousands of innocents had something to do with that loss of support. But Kirk expressed no concern about that. Oh no, he was mostly concerned about polishing up Israel's image, and that was his position right up until the day he died. On August 4, 2025, Amichai Chikli, the combating anti-Semitism chief in Israel, issued the following invitation to Kirk. Quote, on behalf of the government of Israel, it is an honor to extend to you a formal invitation to participate in the annual International Conference on Combating Antisemitism, to be the keynote speaker of the conference that will be held on January 26, 27, 2026 in Jerusalem, Israel. This pivotal conference will bring together political leaders, global organizations, and distinguished individuals from around the world to discuss and address the global threat of modern antisemitism. I wish to personally invite you to be the main guest at the event that will provide a platform to address the primary drivers of contemporary antisemitism. At the forefront, as you know, is the challenge of disinformation among the younger generation, as well as the bias, academia, and liberal social justice movements, violent radical Islamist antisemitism, and digital age Holocaust denial. The conference will be held in Jerusalem on International Holocaust Day and will include a special visit to Yad Vashem, Israel's National Holocaust Memorial Site, as well as a private tour to the southern border to offer a deeper understanding of the geopolitical landscape. I sincerely hope you will be able to accept this invitation and join us for what promises to be an impactful event. Your participation would be invaluable. I'm confident that your leadership on this issue will inspire all attendees." Close quote. This doesn't sound to me like higher ups in the Jewish power structure were worried that Kirk was going to turn on them. I am not persuaded that Kirk was assassinated by the Mossad, as some have suggested. Now, the Jewish power structure doesn't hesitate to murder whenever it suits their perceived advantage. They're more murderous and spiteful than two dozen mafias put together. And Charlie Kirk was bought and paid for by that Jewish power structure. They'd certainly have no moral qualms about punishing someone they'd built up to be very influential, who was about to stray off the plantation and lead his millions of followers to oppose the Jewish power structure and the Jewish state. But I've seen no definitive evidence that Kirk was going to do that. No evidence that he was anything more than a right-wing Christian Zionist who had disagreements with the leftist wing of the Jewish power structure, just like Netanyahu himself does, and just like the countless Jews honeycombing the Trump administration and the MAGA movement do, none of whom appear to be on the Mossad's hit list. I am not persuaded that the apparent shooter, Tyler Robinson, was much more than a screwed-up Christian white kid, mentally deranged by his own family's irrational faith and by the very sick and very Jewish philosophies of neoliberalism and sexual perversion in which he was immersed for his entire life. I am not persuaded that the footage of Robinson running away from the scene proves that he wasn't carrying a rifle. The camera is so far away and the resolution is so bad that in many frames, Robinson's entire torso is just one pixel wide. You can't make any reasonable claim about the presence or absence of any item many times narrower than that, like a rifle. And video compression artifacts screw up the accuracy of the images just as much as the poor resolution. Instead of speculating on the manner of his death, instead of getting all sobby over the theater of his funeral and the self-serving martyr to conservatism hype that's surging right now, let's be hard-headed and realistic about what we do know about Charlie Kirk. He said that the answer to America's decline is Christianity and right-wing conservatism, the same Christianity and conservatism that got us into this mess in the first place, the same Christianity and conservatism that failed to prevent the rise of the degenerate anti-white media and the anti-white takeover of the U.S. government. The same Christianity and conservatism that screams in pain every time someone accuses them of racism and rushes to deny the accusation by pointing to their beloved black conservative pastors and the wonderful and fully accepted racially mixed couples in their congregations. The same Christianity and conservatism that pretty much believes that Jews are emissaries of God on earth and can do no wrong. And if they want to stifle your speech or burn a few thousand babies alive with phosphorus bombs, why, that's no reason to stop giving them money or allowing them to run our media. The same Christianity and conservatism that lost the war for power in this country and which now exists mainly as a dissent containment mechanism for our deadliest enemies who want us dead yesterday. The solution to all this is a revolutionary transformation of society, the opposite of the reformist ideas of Charlie Kirk and his ilk, who merely want to slow and soften our race's decline and death. The solution to all this is to make the survival and advancement of our race the very purpose of our society and of our lives. The solution to all this is complete racial separation and self-determination. The solution to all this is seeing that Jewish power is determined to exterminate our race for all time, and joining with eyes wide open the life and death struggle that they have forced upon us. This was the solution discovered by William Pierce, who founded the National Alliance and whose portrait graces the text version of this broadcast on nationalvanguard.org. The solution to all this is embodied in the program of the National Alliance. You can read about that program at natall.com/join. That's natall.com/join. I urge everyone hearing my voice today to do that immediately. The hour is late, and the remaining seconds of your life are ticking by.
Thank you.